shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Also, our nonprofit programs that fall underneath the museum, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and Silver Star Veterans and Widows programs. So the museum takes care of the history of our veterans that serve our nation from the conception of our nation all the way to Iraq and Afghanistan and issues that are going on in Syria and around the world with Korea and China and Russia. Guys, you know, it just seems like we have a, if you look at a roving cycle that goes up and down like rolling hills, that's kind of what it looks like on a graph for the United States and the same countries over and over again with issues with China and Russia in the Middle East. We just barely get things settled down again, and boom, it just rises again with escalation of issues and service issues and the communism and things that just escalate all the time. You know, right here in our community is with our home programs, we continue to take care of our veterans that are the younger ones coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and service all around the world, whether they're in the Middle East or not. And then also we continue to take care of our senior veterans with our widows and with our senior veterans here in our community, continue to take care of them. You know, this pandemic issues going on, people wearing masks, people are staying away from everybody, but we are involved with the Northern California Veterans Museum. We're involved in our community here in Cottonwood, Anderson, and Redding. We're in Shasta County and Tehama County. And then we are also involved in taking care of some larger issues that are going on around. We are not afraid to step out and continue to perform the services that are needed in our community. Life doesn't stop, and the needs seem to be greater than ever before, and so we continue to take care of these needs. We'd like to remind you that we are a nonprofit, and the only way that we can help others is either through grants or through monies that are donated. And so if you'd like to just donate to that program to continue to help those that are in need in our community as far as our veterans programs go, the phone number for the Veterans Museum office is 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And that is our offices at 2110 North Street in Anderson. And we are not open every day there at our offices. We are open by appointment only. And so if you want to call, you know, or set up a time or get a hold of me, then we can meet and talk about what's going on there. We're busy taking care of the Anderson building. We're busy taking care of the Cottonwood Firehouse that we now have as the restoration facility for the Veterans Museum. And we continually work with projects and are taking in supplies and being able to hand out supplies and take care of we had medical beds that were donated to us, and we turned around and we handed those right back out to seniors that were in needed hospital beds and things like that. So we're constant, and there's no cost. It's an opportunity for us to be able to receive these things, clean them up, and turn right around and benefit the community with community services for those that are in need that may not have the financial capability to take care of themselves. And so that's how our nonprofits work as we move forward. And it's just it's a great opportunity for us to be involved in our community and make everything else happen along with it. We are going to have a drive-by barbecue there in Cottonwood at the firehouse location, and that's going to be September 12th. We're looking at, gosh, it's just about 5 weeks out, and that's coming right around the corner. We need to do a fundraiser for the museum. We need to bring money in to help continue to pay our bills and to also take care of those that are in need in the community. And without those dollars coming in, we have to just slow right down to minimal expenditures. Museum is in the black, and we're moving forward in a positive way. But it is very, very slow because we can't do leaps and bounds when there isn't a lot of funding coming back in. We still have lights and water to take care of. We got gasoline vehicles to take care of to pick up things and deliver things and continue to move forward like that. Nobody in the museum or any of our nonprofit areas are paid. This is all volunteer. It's all love of community service and love for our veterans as we move forward and make sure that we take care of those who help preserve the freedom that we have and enjoy every day. It is so important. It's kind of like a silent service. You know, it's not real popular right now to be a veteran. It's not real popular, again, to be pro-country. It's not real popular to want to make sure to take care of others. It seems like our younger society that's out there breaking windows and burning buildings down, the only thing they care about is something they can hold in their hands and play with their thumbs and or their own selfish mindsets. And a lot of that comes back to anarchy and, you know, they're trying to take over the country from within. But it is so important for us to continue to honor our veterans and to make sure that the lives that were lost in honor to sacrifice for that freedom is not lost either. We need to make sure that we step up and continue to have a voice that says, we love this country, we love our freedom, we love our God, and we're going to continue to move forward. And we're not going to let other people tell us how to do it, even though our government is supposed to be for the people and by the people, is allowing them to get away with this anarchy. And they don't have the courage to step up and say, this is wrong. And you know why? Because they don't have a moral compass. And, you know, the only way you have a moral compass is if you believe in God, you believe in right, and you believe in wrong. And there's a noticeable difference between the two, because right takes care of everybody. And wrong only takes care of those individuals with their own selfish needs, their own selfish attitudes, and in their own selfish anarchist way, which means they don't care who they destroy as long as they get what they want. But I have a question for you. If they go out and destroy everything, get rid of the police, get rid of the president, get rid of everything, what are they going to have? Remember, there's no honor among thieves. So as soon as you get the head thief in there, he's just going to turn on all the other thieves or anybody that supported him because it's his own selfish mindset. There, if the thieves are in charge, nobody is safe, not even their own thieves, because they'll just kill and destroy themselves while they're fighting just as they would anything else. It's like a bunch of piranhas out there. The piranhas don't care whether you're bleeding or not. They're going to eat you along with whatever they're eating to begin with. It's like the sharks. Sharks will eat sharks if they're bleeding. They'll eat whatever's in the water, but they will also eat themselves because that is that type of mentality. And that's exactly what you see out there. These individuals that are running around creating all this hate and discourse, and then they turn right around and feed on the same people that are trying to give them the extra money and the extra food and everything else because they are biting the hand that feeds them. And a lot of them don't even know that they're getting fed by that hand, and that hand is the one that's feeding them. So they just continue to eat upon themselves and eat upon those that are around them. And we need to continue to step up in our community with community service and to make sure that we take care of those that are around us. Because if we don't do that, who else is going to? And we're not on this earth just to take advantage of everything around us. We've been given the opportunity to serve others. We've given the opportunity to help others that are in need, because as we as a community, as good citizens, support each other, then we become stronger. We don't become torn down. Not only that, but that gives us a resolve, and that resolve is what gives us the courage to continue to move on from one day to the next. And believe me, I talk to a lot of people every day out in our community, and some of them are just afraid and they don't want to leave their homes. And I don't blame them because there's so much chaos out there. But let me give you some encouragement. You know, I serve a God, and I know that a lot of people out there, some believe a God, some don't. But I believe my God gives me the strength and the courage every single day, gives me the hope to help others, and helps me to be able to take care of those things that are going on. And so we have a guest this morning. We're going to be talking about our communities. We're going to talk about service in our communities. We're going to talk about being strong and have hope and courage and a moral compass as we move forward through all these things that are chaotic, because God is not in chaos. God is everything that is beyond chaos and light and hope and encouragement. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, for a land so fair,
right in. Don't be late.
No.
Light with hope. God bless America. My home.
Right, good morning. You're listening again to Battlefield Expressions, and this is God Bless America by Kate Smith, sung back in the late 30s and early 40s when that song was first introduced to our United States of America. And I don't know about you, but I pray for our nation on a daily basis. I pray for the issues that are going on with all the hate that is in the streets. I pray for our president, because our president needs to have that leadership and strength that's behind him. I pray for our community with the things that are going on. I pray for our nonprofit and the organizations that are going on, because I know that I in my own life cannot do it by myself. I don't know how people that don't believe in a greater entity live, because they have no hope whatsoever. And so I think that it is so important that if we love this country and we love our freedom and we love our veterans and we love our home and our homeland, that we need to remember to pray for it every day, because without that divine entity, it's just going to go away. You wonder why we have issues in our schools and our government, because they took all of the scripture out of the schools. There is no Ten Commandments, so there's no issues. There is no scripture, so there's no reason to be responsible for anything. And we don't pray in our meetings anymore. You don't pray in Congress anymore. They don't pray. They have a moment of silence. What is that? What's a moment of silence? It's definitely not words. It's definitely not prayer. A moment of silence. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous where we've allowed our nation to go. But we have to, I mean, we're not at rock bottom yet, but we're getting close. And so we have to depend on a greater entity. And my greater entity is God. And that's the only way we're successful and we continue to move forward. Because it's not me. I'm just an individual trying to do the best I can. But where does my strength and encouragement comes from? It comes from God. That's the bottom line. And I would hope and pray that if you're in this community and you love this country and you love what we have as our freedom, that you would pray for our nation also. I don't care if you like President Trump or not. The Bible says to pray for your leadership. It doesn't say for one leader or the other. It says pray for the leadership. And at this moment, that includes President Trump. I used to pray for President Obama all the time. It was like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do to take care of this situation? Because I'm putting it in your hands. And that's exactly where we are here with Trump. It's out of our hands. It's in God's hands. But we have to pray to have him be a part of that and to help guide the president in our leadership in our nation and our leadership in our communities. Because if we don't, then it's throwing it to the wind, because silence is consent. Let me say that again. Silence is consent. And so if you don't raise your voice and you don't speak your opinion and you're afraid to say something, you can't be afraid to say something in these days. You got to speak up, because once again, it's right and wrong. And if you're not up for right, you're supporting wrong. You know, I have a guest this morning. Bernie Kelly is a school teacher here in our Shasta County area, and he is part of the Cottonwood Community Watch, and he is an American patriot, and he loves this country. And we're going to talk about community support this morning. Good morning, Bernie. Thank you for being here with us today. We were at a meeting the other day with the Cottonwood Community Watch, and you shared just a wonderful lesson on patriotism and community service, and I wanted you to be here this morning to do that again.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for having me here.
You're welcome. Bernie, tell us a little bit about your background and your you said that you were one of the primary teachers that were awarded Teacher of the Year for Shasta County here in our community. I mean, that says a lot right off the bat that you're such an inspiring instructor and teacher.
So, actually, I was a Region 2. I was a state level, and it was a California League of Middle Schools award for and you get that when your peers and your administrators write letters about you and parents, and so I went to the state level with that. But
congratulations
yeah,
for
yeah,
that.
And that was quite a while ago. It was okay. Actually about the time that I was getting involved. I think I was already involved in the militia a couple of years by that time. That was a while ago. I'm who am I? I think one of the things that's important is when people start to put labels on me personally, I get a little bit of offended. Is that all I am? Am I only a teacher? Not that that's a bad thing. Am I only a man? I'm Native American. That has a huge play in everything that we're going to talk about. It shaped my world. Am I just a Cottonwood Community militia member or, you know, all of those things. So, I'm all of that. And more, I would believe, yeah.
Well, this morning as we talk about what you spoke the other day when we had our meeting, I'd like to just go ahead and give us that history lesson you gave us the other day, and just bring us back to our fundamentals for our nation and where we need to move from here. But people need to have that knowledge and encouragement because they're just not out there anymore, and this is our opportunity to share that with
them. So I think, you know, part of being who I am is there are values that I come to the militia with, and I came to the militia with. Every single person does. I believe that the bottom line why people come to the militia would be fear, and we're afraid of the way things are going. We're worried about disasters. We're worried about leadership, and there comes a point where we realize that we do have control over at least ourselves. What is our reaction? So my story, very briefly, would be that I had a great fear in Y2K 2000, the turning. I realized that I didn't have enough food, and I was worried about medicines. How am I going to cope with this? At the same time, I was having a cultural awakening. And so I started with my yard. I started locally. I have a medicine cabinet of everything within walking distance. And over the years, I've learned to figure out how to resolve issues, toenail fungus and diabetes and some surgeries or things that I can't do herbally. But why is this important? It's about action. And so there came a point where I had great concern in 2008, 2009 about where our country was going. I legitimately thought that things were going to be falling apart. And I was listening to people around me saying, you know, that we only had months. And I didn't even know if we had months. I stopped traveling. I ceased to go anywhere. I was very, very concerned. In 2009, the barber down in Cottonwood was getting some people together because people were, things in Cottonwood were pretty ugly. The drug scene was picking up. We were getting a horrible reputation. They were calling us Little Compton, Compton Wood. And, so that's really where the story begins for me is that, there came an opportunity to meet with some people in a barn and to figure out how we were going to change our community.
Well, that's, I remember when Woody started putting that together and he had talked to me about it. I was so involved with the Navy and everything at that time, I couldn't really get back together with it. But we'll continue this subject on in just a few minutes. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The coronavirus pandemic has caused our nation's blood supply to drop dangerously low. You can help end the shortage by giving blood. Giving blood is a safe, life-saving activity that's easy and painless. Trust me, I'm a 7-gallon donor myself. Visit lamalfa.house.gov/giveblood to find the blood donation center nearest you. Your donation could save a life. Paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
It's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burrows. Our guest this morning is Bernie Kelly, and we were talking, Bernie, about fear in our community, fear in our own lives, and how to maybe recognize some of those and overcome them so you can become a greater individual to help others that might be in need.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying that in 2000, I had a concern, an awakening moment when I realized that I wasn't able to probably feed and shelter myself if things shut down and trucks weren't driving and schedules were off and things weren't getting shipped and there was a lack of supply. I didn't have a garden. I didn't have the things, the medicines that I needed to care for myself and my family. And so from 2000 to 2009, I remedied that situation. 2009 is a really important year in this story, this idea about the militia, for me, in that we were having problems in Cottonwood, with, people in the community that were getting taken over with some of the crimes that are related to drugs, drugs coming from, you know, south up this way, heading up north, I-5 being a great corridor for that. People were taking matters into their own hands. We would use that as if that would be a negative thing. That's not a negative thing. Problem is, people in Cottonwood were using firearms to solve the problem rather than discussion, or it was just flat out violence, or people were flat out getting ready to move away. All those are solutions to the problems, but they're not always the healthy solution. And so, Barber put 13, 14, he asked a number of people to come to a barn, but ironically, I think there were 12 of us. And somebody remarked to that fact that there was 12 people that were in that barn talking. And the conversation was, there's bad things happening in our community. What are we going to do? And Woody Clendenin, who put that together, said very clearly, listen, I don't want to talk about, I want to talk about what we're going to do, but I don't want to rehash the reasonings that we're here. We know there's problems. We know what the problems are. What are we going to do? And he promoted the idea of a community watch. And I suppose at the time we would have thought of it like guardian angels, but there weren't any guardian angels around here. What are we going to do? So we had to make it up on our own. Well, he was already being asked by members of the community, the shut-in elderly, shut-in single parents, kids that whose parents might be working late shift. Could you drop by and check on my kid? Can you drop by and check on my house? And so he asked some other folks. I can't do it all. The demand is great. Can you help? And so we started setting up and figuring out how we were going to go and help these people, what the law was, what our rights were. And that was the beginning of the community watch. At the same time, there was talk that there was a militia forming in the area. And that quite frankly bothered me a great deal. The idea of a militia at that time had very negative connotations. I have never thought of a militia as a bad thing. In my mind, it's the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. So automatically know what the purpose of a militia is. It's to keep a free state. It's to make sure that tyrannical government is not coming to get us. But it's also linked within history. Militias are the thing outside of an organized people. It's an organized army. It's the people who come and help others, their neighbors, their friends, their families, to solve the problem of Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Andrew, any disaster. When Mount Lassen exploded over here, the people came, cleared rubble, and reset the roads and helped. And that's, in my mind, what a militia was supposed to be. It was what it's always been. It's the citizens mobilizing to promote the general welfare and to ensure domestic tranquility.
People taking care of people.
Exactly.
I mean, that's exactly where we're at with our nonprofits and things like that. We're already taking care of those that are in need. I believe with the term militia, because there are firearms involved, because that's another way for protection.
Right.
And those are law-abiding citizens with CCWs, California Concealed Weapon Permits, right, and things like that. You're not talking about radicals out there in the street. We're talking about people who have businesses, people who have cattle ranches, people who are at the grocery store working every day, women, single moms trying to put together their lives and their business, but they're scared to walk to their car, so they have a CCW in their purse. Yeah. They have a concealed weapon in their purse. So they're abiding by the law, but they still have that personal protection.
Right.
Something that we talked a little bit about before is that if you go back and look at you're talking about the county being in Shasta County. Cottonwood is unincorporated Shasta County.
Right.
So you don't get police. We get sheriffs when they're available, when they show up.
When they're available.
Tehama County, northern Tehama County, out Bowman Road. Tehama County Sheriff's Department right now is 26 personnel short.
Right.
And so how fast is that one sheriff at 2 a.m. going to get to your house if you're getting broken into or whatever else? People have to be able to somehow protect themselves and have the courage to make sure that they're able to take care of their home, their family, their possessions when there is no other legal or law enforcement around to be able to help you, or maybe 45 minutes out before somebody shows up.
Yes, because we've never given up the right to maintain our own health and safety.
That's correct. I mean, a pursuit of life and happiness. I mean, that is what the Constitution is about. I mean, that is for us to be able to live as free Americans, but to be able to enjoy our lives as free Americans also.
Right. So you asked, you know, how long does it take? At that point in time, there were maybe three people that were involved that would be on duty at one time in the evenings. And the wait time was 2 to 4 hours. It got to be 2 to 4 hours. And this is part of why citizens were starting to go out and shoot at people that were stealing from them in their barn. And so at the end of the day, we were concerned, what are people going to think about us? And so there was a lot of concern that there was going to be a lot of blowback. The image of the militia was a bad thing. The community service, community watch idea, we it was just people checking on doors and checking on people in need. Maybe somebody was out of town for a week or a month with their job or vacation. It was neighbors helping neighbors. And that was actually our tagline that we pushed for years. Neighbors helping neighbors.
That's like a buddy check.
It's still the same. Yeah. It's your, yeah, people looking out for each other. It eventually got to be that we realized when I was at the conference, at state conference for Teacher of the Year, that there was a person, or there were people presenting on branding. And so I was exposed to what is a brand. And a brand, just the title of the company, tells you everything you more or less need to know about it, like Disney. You know what Disney's purpose is. Disney's name tells you the purpose of Disney. If we use, there's other places in our lives, Nike, you know what type of advertising that they're doing. They're edgy with it, and the athletes that wear it are chosen. So we decided we had to rebrand what the purpose of the militia was in people's minds, and we decided that it was community service, and that's ultimately what led me to be willing to join it.
We have a caller right now, Terry Posick. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, you guys. How you doing? Good program.
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for doing all this. The Community Watch in Cottonwood is an amazing group of people, as is the militia, and the Reading Patriots and the folks who are standing for the state of Jefferson have worked a lot with Woody and all the folks there. It's been an amazing experience. I just had one question. I kind of wanted you guys maybe to discuss this. You talked about a well-regulated militia. Well, and you also talked about law-abiding citizens. Well, a concealed carry permit is a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege. The sheriff can take it from you, as many have in many counties in California, or they can give it to you. However, in a county of under 200,000 people, you can be issued a 26150B2, which is an open carry permit. The problem is, none of the counties have ever opened that. So we had a discussion with the sheriff at the California Rifle and Pistol Association, and the discussion was, really and truly, if you have 10,000 people in the county that have concealed carry, isn't the whole idea of using a weapon, and I'm sure your guests can concur with this, isn't that the discernment of when to use the weapon? Not where you carry it. If a woman has it in her bonnet, it's when she uses it. And the sheriff had a tough time answering that one. I think that if you have a concealed carry, shouldn't you also be issued an open carry? And wouldn't that be a deterrent for crime?
I agree that an open carry would be a deterrent. I see guys carry all the time, and it doesn't matter to me because I carry myself. So. But you have to make sure, obviously, because it shouldn't be exposed or whatever else, because somebody can use that against you. But when we have certain meetings or whatever else, I encourage open carry because I believe it shows us all in solidarity. And I think that solidarity is very important because it speaks volumes whether you're speaking or not speaking, because a picture is worth a thousand words. And so I think a lot of that is very important. We can speak with our own view that way or have it hidden and not say anything at all, but at least that way you know that you're protected. And so, Terry, we're getting ready to come up on our break. If you want to hang on till the other side, that'd be great. Otherwise,
sure, because I do have a quick comment on that. Sure.
Okay. And you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we are talking about our rights in the community to work together for service and also to be able to defend ourselves legally. And we've been talking about fear and being able to overcome that fear, to be strong in our community and to be courageous when it seems like everything else seems to be falling apart. My guest this morning is Bernie Kelly, and he is part of the Cottonwood Community Watch and part of the militia and part of our community service here in Shasta County. And once again, thank you for being with us here this morning, Bernie, and be able to share your views and talk to folks about that encouragement. And then we also still have a caller on the line with Terry Raposa.
So if I may, I wanted to comment on what Terry said, and he was talking about the the right to bear arms and conceal carry and open carry and the privileges of doing that, the difference being a right. And the Bill of Rights is not about it's not telling us about our neighbors. It's telling us our relationship with the government. It's ensuring that the government can't trample on certain rights that we have. One of them is to bear arms, but the Bearing Arms Amendment is not for the purpose of protecting yourself from your neighbor. It's for protecting yourself from the government. So sometimes I think that people get confused. They want to cite the Second Amendment as the right to bear arms, but they forget the entire first half. And I totally agree with everything that Terry said. I have concealed carried in the past and had the privilege of doing that. Will have it again. I believe in that, and I'm okay with open carry, and I believe it as a defensive tool and a preventative tool. But to put the issues together sometimes, I think, can obscure a little bit of what, you know, the militia is intended for. So
I think I can add some clarity to that, if I may.
You go right ahead.
Okay. The thing is that you said it at the top. We're talking about law-abiding. Okay, with the law of the Constitution, basically, the Constitution, as you said, it isn't our rights. Our rights come from God. The Constitution is the line in the sand which the government, any government, cannot cross over. And in the California Constitution, in Article 3, Section 1, it specifically says that the United States Constitution is recognized as the supreme law of the land, and the California Constitution and the California state is an inseparable part of that, which means that, no pun intended, but it trumps, well, I guess there is a pun intended, the United States Constitution trumps a state constitution. What we're saying here is that it's a privilege to open carry, it's a privilege to conceal carry. Well, what if you're in San Francisco and you can do neither? So the real deal is I think it's discernment. If you issue 10,000 CCWs to people, it's the discernment of when you use the weapon. And you're right, Bernie. I mean, somebody could take the weapon from you, but if they see a bulge under your belt and you're slow, you know, under your shirt, they could take your weapon then too. But it's times when you do that, the discernment. If you're walking in the park, in Reading Park, with your grandkids, if you have an open carry weapon, if you have a weapon on your hip, it's probably more of a deterrent from somebody who wants to do something to you rather than having it concealed. Now, when we talked to Tom Basenko about this, he said that he believed that concealed carry was tactically superior over open carry. So my question was, then why don't the sheriffs and the deputies conceal carry? And he said, well, it's a deterrent. Well, which is it? So I think that the real deal is we shouldn't have to get any kind of permit for a privilege. And again, if we get a sheriff that says we cannot carry, we can't carry under California quote law, which is illegal because it violates the California Constitution and the United States Constitution. So I think it's all about discernment. And who has the right to choose whether you can carry a weapon or not? Who has the right to do that? Who has the right to tell you that they think you shouldn't carry or that maybe someone could take that gun off of you? Who has that right? Well, I would submit to you, no one has that right, because to protect ourselves and our families against anyone or anything is our God-given right.
I agree. All right. Thank
you,
Terry.
Gentlemen, have a great day, okay?
We appreciate that, and we're going to...
We appreciate your program.
Carry on. Thank you, Terry.
So if I may, for just a moment, one of the things that I spoke about in Cottonwood, and it was a very important part of the message to the new recruits that were coming into the militia, and it was a huge meeting. There was 90 people there. It was amazing to see all the people that wanted to get involved. And I'm responding to this because Terry kind of brought it up. There's at least four groups that the FBI recognizes as being what they would say domestic terrorists or questionable groups, and gun rights is one of those groups. If we tie gun rights to a militia, and that's the purpose of the militia, then it's not serving the people. And so part of what I think is important is that a militia, the brand of a militia should be community service. It should be silent. It's not a political action group. It's an action group. We're going to go do things. It's about ensuring domestic tranquility, providing common defense. It's about action over complaint. We're not just going to stand around and talk about politics or the struggle in that, but we're going to go out and do something. It's about local control. And when we were planning how we were going to move forward, the militia and the community watch had very similar goals. It turns out that the militia group that we first joined was the Northern California State Militia, which is now, and it was based out of Sacramento. It started in 2000 by a man named Roy McCarty. There were about 30 to 50 people that would gather. Most militias don't get much bigger than 25. They're personality led, and they are run by people who focus on one fear. They're afraid of tyrannical government. They want more guns, or they focus on prepping and surviving, and they want to build big, huge bunkers, and that's what they focus on. And they are not focused on restoring community. They're not focused on individual community service. They're focused on individual fears.
And that's one of the things that I think makes it what we do with Cottonwood Community Watch. Right. And I say we because I'm part of the support program right. with that. But running three nonprofits that are already involved in taking care of those that are in need,
right.
Whether they're young or they're elderly, also by honoring those veterans. I mean, the Northern California Veterans Museum is encompassed in all of these realities because we honor our men and women who served and sacrificed every day.
Right.
And we help to take care of those coming back that are in need from the war zone, and we help to take care of those who already served, our elderly widows, the veterans past, and now they're struggling or they're in need or they have something that they need to be helped. And that is those in Cottonwood. That's throughout Shasta, Tehama, and Lassen in Trinity counties. I mean, we help veterans and senior veterans all over the place. And I think that that's one of the reasons that it's so important with what's going on with the Community Watch is it is opening people's minds to say, look, don't individual in the community, don't help anybody else that's in need. It's really easy to go buy 10 acres and be out in the middle of nowhere and not talk to
them. Right.
But that is not what we're about here in Northern California. In Northern California, we are here about giving back to the community because we believe in our community. We want community. We want strong citizens that are here. We want the stronger our citizens, the less trash that we have in our streets, the less drugs we have in our streets. We are representative of a positive society and not allowing the trash to contribute to make it a worse society.
Yeah.
And I think that actions speak louder than enough people. Or show encouragement and strength in our Northern California area. We still, California, are stronger than the entire rest of California. This is a different world up here.
Yeah.
Because we have more military, we have more self-discipline, we have more people that care about our communities. And I think it is so important that we continue to talk about that. Like you said, it is critical. If we don't talk about it, people aren't like-minded. If we don't talk about it, it doesn't give encouragement to others who wonder about it. Be able to give them examples and then live by those, encourage them to become those examples as we move forward.
I think you said something really important, and you talked about what's going up here, on up here being different. I've never lived in a positive. Other people care greatly, but they're not getting off the couch. They're not leaving their house. They're not talking to their neighbors. And that was a huge piece. And, you know, later on in this segment, we can talk about how we actually activate a community and what the purposes of it were.
Right. And I think that what this did is a far cry different from here is because there's a lot of fish in that are still here and met people that continue to live or have been influenced by the adults in their family. And I think that people just, like I said, what it comes back to having, we have over 20,000 veterans in Shasta County and almost 50 around. That's a lot of influence.
That's huge.
So you bring these individuals back who have had that training and honor, courage to their nation and everything else that takes place. And so as we move forward, we need to continue to talk about that and share that. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice, Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Mexico has now become the country with the third most COVID-19 deaths in the world behind the U.S. and Brazil.
Mexican health officials said on Friday there were 688 deaths for the last 24-hour reporting period, the country's total to over 46,600. That's put Mexico just ahead of Britain, according to the tally by John Hopkins University. It is well to note that Mexico's population is double that of Britain. The officials also say that Mexico now has more than 424,000 confirmed coronavirus cases during the pandemic. Meanwhile, 9 state governors from opposition parties, what they call the federal government's confusing messages on measures to curb the spread of the disease. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Forecasters have declared a hurricane watch for parts of the Florida coastline as Hurricane Isaias stretches the Bahamas on track for the U.S. East Coast today or early tomorrow. Senator Rick Scott says he spoke with the governor of Puerto Rico, where the National Guard had to rescue dozens of people.
FEMA's there. FEMA's being helpful. You know, they've got some flooding, so she was traveling the island. But she said, I said, is there anything you need out of the federal government? And they said, you guys have done a great job.
Republican Senator John Barrasso says the mayhem on display at many of the racial justice demonstrations around the country reflect a crisis of leadership by liberal state and local officials.
We are seeing in real time, the result of the radical defund the police movement that is embraced by many Democrats.
Under a new bill, social media platforms would be required to inform users whenever their content is censored or deleted.
And importantly, they would be required to explain their decisions to remove material to consumers.
That is Republican Senator John Thune of South Dakota proposing his PACT Act. More from townhall.com.
I know that on those tablets Mr. Moses brought down is the commandment to not covet. But I'll confess, my neighbor and his lawnmower is making it tough. He's got this stand-behind, ride-along space shuttle that covers probably 3 times more space than my trusty old lawn boy. So, when we have who mows the fastest races, which are completely fabricated in my head, he has some impressive advantages that I just don't have. And at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed to have a pretty special advantage of our own, and one that could be a big deal for you. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park Road, Millville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Federal health officials say an outbreak of salmonella is infecting nearly 400 people in more than 30 states, and it's been linked to red onions.
The FDA says the California company Thompson International will be recalling all varieties of onions that could have come in contact with potentially contaminated red onions because of the risk of cross-contamination. That means white, yellow, and sweet onions are included in the red onion recall. The salmonella was so bad, the FDA says nearly 60 people ended up in the hospital. Canada is also investigating an outbreak closely related to the U.S. one. Signs of salmonella infection include diarrhea, fever, and stomach cramps between 6 hours and 6 days after exposure, according to the CDC. They're urging people to contact a doctor.
And that is correspondent Julie Walker reporting. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Roberto Azevedo's resignation as the World Trade Organization's Director General is leaving the organization scrambling to fill that position by the end of the month.
Coronavirus is causing unprecedented damage to the global economy, so the WTO's role in greasing the wheels of international trade is more important than ever. But the Director General quit a year early, saying someone else would be better placed to address that and challenges such as the US-China trade war. Those differences between the world's two biggest economies have flared up again, blocking an agreement on which of 4 deputy director generals should take over in the interim. A German and an American are the front runners, but it's not a promising sign for a body that is supposed to work on consensus.
Airlines continue to worry about their bottom line. Spirit Airlines has warned up to 30% of its employees they could be losing their jobs in October of this year. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And And that is Hank Williams, A Country Boy Can Survive. And, you know, that at one time that probably would have been fantastic living back in the woods and not, nobody knowing where you are. But now with the satellite technology, they just look right down on you and there's nothing you can do to hide. I mean, just everything's right out in the open. There's no trees there. It is what it is. So we just try to live our lives the best we can. And every day, you know, we try to improve ourselves and to help improve our community. Once again, we've been talking about Cottonwood Community Watch, which is actually our we should just call it Shasta County Community Watch or California Community Watch. Or as American citizens, we should be doing a community watch.
Right.
This shouldn't just be one township or county or state. It should be all of us as Americans coming together and looking out for those that are around us, because there's three different types of people in the world that we talked about. There's sheep, there's sheep dogs, and there's wolves. And so a lot of people, being sheep, they just live their lives and whatever else. They don't really know how to protect themselves. They just go to the store every day, or they go to job and they come home and they try to live their lives. Those are the sheep.
Yeah.
And then the sheepdogs are the military. They are the police officers, the sheriffs, people that are in leadership to help take care of those that are in need and need to be helped. And then there's the wolves that just come out and they do whatever they can to steal and deprive and take life. And so it's important in our conversation this morning as we speak that people think about where you are in your life. Are you a sheep? Do you help support others? Are you a sheepdog? Or are you one of those individuals out there that takes advantage and rapes and cheats and steals and everything else from those around you because you just don't care? And we see that in society right now with all of these riots. They're not protests. They're riots with anarchy and everything else. Those are the wolves that take away from the livelihood of everyone else that's around us. And then it's common nowadays to get upset at the sheepdog for barking,
right,
or just stepping up and growling or holding your stance.
Yeah.
But once again, silence is consent. And so it's so important for us to speak our piece and make sure that others know, hey, either you're like-minded and we work together, or you're not like-minded and we don't want you here, because we want a positive society that is as self-disciplined as possible to help take care of each one of us so that we can work together and have our livelihood in our daily effort.
I think that song by Hank Williams Jr. is absolutely the point. Country boy can survive, and country people. But he's not just talking about a location. It's about an attitude of sustainability and individual capability,
yes.
Right? Governance. You know, your influence, and you have influence in your own life. You're not just letting life happen to you. And I don't think when I'm a karate instructor as well, and that's how I actually got into school teaching, is I taught martial arts in Paradise, California. It started in 87, somewhere in there. It was in 89, that's when I started. But the point is that when I talk to my students all the time, I say, what's self-defense technique number one? And they know it's make friends. Little kids know it's make friends. You know, if you're older, we could say make allies. And then I say, what's number two? It'd be make space. So, okay, we want to stay away from and create a place, a safe place to be and run to safety. If we know there's lions and tigers and bears in the woods, it's okay to go there, but you got to know that when you're going there, you have to behave differently. And Cottonwood was becoming a real jungle when I first got involved in the militia, and there were a lot of predators that were moving into our area, and we had to cope with that. I think when we think of sheep, if we scale that up to something and we say, well, a bison, what's the difference between a bison and a sheep? And other than the fact that a sheep's probably not going to hurt you when it runs you over, it doesn't have horns, but there's rams and sheep, they'll hurt you. They have horns, but it's about size. But nobody looks at a bison as being weak. And so when we say sheep, that means that you're given an opportunity to live in peace and in harmony. Because the military are warriors, and really we got to remember only about 3%. I think it's almost 3,000%. There's 400 million Americans and only 3 million servicemen, right?
You have 0.7%.
There you go. So 0.7% are sheepdogs, really. And that's just looking at the military. And I would, and I am saying, and police and firemen, all of our warrior people, all the people, because you weren't safe, respectful, and responsible, all the people that have to show up and scrape you off the road because you weren't safe, respectful, and responsible, those warriors who are inundated with that daily, there's a trauma to them because nobody wants to see a carload full of people strewn on the road. And so it's not wrong to be a sheep. Not everybody wants to put lead on target, even in the military. Those are special people that will actually fire for effect always. We call them Marines. We call them Rangers. We call them Special Forces. When we think about, and this was a big piece for the militia, is people always think military action and they think infantry. For every infantry person in the field in the Army, there's eight people that make that one person possible.
Actually, it's 12.
Ah, there you go. So now we're talking 1/12, but everybody wants to focus on the one. I'm going to join the militia and I'm going to have weapons and I'm going to crawl around in the bushes. And no, you're not. That's not what a militia is for. It's about sandbags. It's about food, shelter, clothing, restoring the local until the police or some large organization could come in.
First aid.
Communications.
One of the biggest things is first aid, being able to take care of a disaster situation and help people save their lives.
Right. Think Hurricane Katrina. I love it because we got to watch that unfold. It's a negative thing. I didn't love the disaster. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is we could see that there was no way for, with all of our great power, to send our military in there to even help those people. They had to spend nights on top of their own roofs, finding places to be away from crocodiles and whatever else was in the water, dysentery and disease, and they had to help each other. That's a militia. That's a militia purpose right there. It's always been that way in every country, in every tribe, in every nation. The people have to, they always retain the right to protect themselves. So when we talk about these extremists, and that's really what the FBI gets frustrated with or concerned about, is people who want to take from others. And I said in the comment down in Cottonwood, if you have bullets and you have weapons, but you don't have food for a month, you cannot be in the militia. You're a marauder. And the room got really silent. It was like a gut punch.
I noticed that, yeah.
And I
mean,
said
that was
them,
brass tacks.
I said, you hear that? I said, that's you realizing something important here. That it's not about the equipment that you have. It's about the food you have. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm telling everybody listening out there, don't tell anybody you have food or water for a month for your family. And when you start to get enough food that you can actually go into a second month, I want you to give a bucket of rice and beans to your neighbors. Because at some point in any disaster, your neighbors know that you have stuff. They're going to be tired and they're going to be hungry and they're going to try to save their children just like you would. And you're going to go, if you didn't have enough, you're going to go someplace and get it. And if you have weapons, because you've been planning for this, to conduct a personal war, that's what they're talking about, radical survivors, radical preppers. A prepper is somebody who's prepared and ready to go. And if you're doing that with your neighbors, now I would suggest that you are being a part of a militia. You can actually help. And that's what the militia was always designed for. It was always used, especially in this area. Our area in California was one of the last places the militia was called out to help with disasters, with dealing with domestic terrorists. Back then we would call them Indians. And so here we are struggling. People in a neighborhood, there's been a disaster. Now they want to restore life. That's a militia action. What are you doing? And there's already a lot of training out there, the incident command system. That's our first stages. So at some point, real quick here, I'd like to talk about what do you do when a disaster hits? What's the responsibility of a militia person?
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hit that hard and heavy, and we'll move forward with that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1468.
Hey, Linda, let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-everything home-cooked ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country-owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a kick that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, full cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at Fortines Boulevard or visit us.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19 and following goal. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions, home as much as possible. Travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed, and we all need to continue to distancing. Wear masks when out in public, home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to SHA.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
If tomorrow all the things were gone out of our life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take back. American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And I'll tell you what, I have served all over the world, and there is no other place like the United States of America. If you go downtown San Francisco right now and you see the homeless and everything else that's going on there, that's like being in the rest of the world, because they choose to allow their communities to become overrun by individuals who don't care. And then because it's a political aspect, oh my goodness, we can't say anything because somebody might get upset because they're going to get their feelings hurt. Such is life. Feelings get hurt, whether you like it or not. But you know what? We have to continue to stand up. You have to have a backbone. You have to continue to move forward or you get run over. You can see all the people that are getting run over every day all around our nation because they don't have a backbone to stand up to say what you're doing is wrong and we don't want you to continue doing it. It just makes me upset every time I hear the news or watch the TV and I see these people throwing Molotov cocktails and everything else. That's what happens in the streets of Russia or Czechoslovakia or Romania. That's what happens on the other side in the Eastern Bloc, and we have now allowed that to take place every single day in our own nation. Shame on us. Shame on our government. Shame on our political leaders, the state leaders, the county leaders, those that don't have enough guts to say this is wrong and we're not going to allow it to take place anymore. And I just, you know, I just get to a point, Bernie, where I got to just speak my piece, because I saw men die in country, in Iraq.
Yeah.
I've seen them give their lives for the freedom that we have here. And for us to allow this to take place is stepping on the graves of those men and women who sacrificed their lives in another country so that we can have the freedom that we have.
I think, Rob, not enough
people say enough about it.
I think I want to comment on that. And you said something earlier about working together, community service. And part of the thing about military personnel, they build such a strong relationship that it transcends the need to live. That song that we have that you just played, all of them today have inspired me in different ways. But that one that you just were putting on there, that one we were hearing, it gives me the chills because I'm willing to commit. I'm willing to commit and do and stand up and maybe even lose my life over it. And we have people on, you know, that stay out of the military, police and fire, doctors right now, you know, with viruses and pandemics, and are doing that. And even citizens are doing that. It's not as if we have to join the military to serve and stand up for what we believe in. Before we went to break, we were talking about how 7/10 of the people become military. And even in the military, 1 in 12 is actually infantry. The rest are moving. They're doing logistics. They're doing communications. They're doing food, shelter, clothing, and they're setting up and making it possible. All the navigation, all of the satellite coordination that it takes to know where they're at, so that they can go out and actually put lead on target. People that join the military know that that's coming. And yet they don't have to go, and not everybody's a killer in the military. There's a lot of research done on that. We've known for years that there's people that serve. There's that movie where the fella went up, what was it called, something Ridge?
Hacksaw Ridge,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean,
he was a conscientious objector.
Certainly.
But saved multiple
right.
lives.
Certainly. One of the most dangerous jobs in the military is to be a medical a person. To go into combat situations and save people, because you're not returning fire always. You're under fire, not returning fire. Well, so what about the people back here? What about the people that don't join the military? There's a lot of people that wouldn't make it in the military. They don't take directions well. They're very intelligent. People are vastly intelligent in the military. They've got some of the greatest minds. We're lucky to have them in our military academies. But there's a lot of people that say, I don't want people to tell me what to do. I don't want to have to live on that schedule. They're no less capable. They just recognize that they're not into the structure. And so those folks generally make great people in our militias. And to a problem when we have military people come, they're saying this isn't the military. Sometimes our military prior service people that come to the militia, it's a boost for them. They realize we're trying to work together, but they realize that this team is not as developed as the team that they were in. It's self-discipline, the connection,
that self-discipline,
the camaraderie. It's different when you're in wartime. Those people are our family, those blood ties. We hear it all the time how soldiers don't want to come out. They want to stay in. Even though they're missing limbs, they want to go back because they feel like they're letting somebody down. That is something that I would love to see in communities. You feel like you're letting your neighbor down when you're not taking care of your own business. And so, you know, that kind of leads me to who joins and who are great at the militia. There are people already out there that are volunteering. I would love for people to get off the couch that are listening to us right now, or they're not doing much with their life other than work and just regular family, and they need something else to do and interest. I would love if they came out and got involved. Chances are, though, that's not really going to happen. The people that join the militia are joiners already. They're already setting up for the church. They're already setting up for the school fundraiser. They're already involved in the community in some way, helping people already.
Service-oriented. It's a like-mindedness. That's why there's quite a few different personnel that come in there from the military, from all different branches, is because they like that like-mindedness. They like, now there's a place where they can talk with other veterans.
Exactly.
Now there's a place where they can relate to each other because that's what they were trained when they were in boot camp or wherever they served.
Right.
And that helps even bring more self-discipline back to your organization because it brings that like-mindedness.
Correct.
And some of those individuals don't even need to speak. All they need to know is they served at a certain place at a certain time or were in a certain branch. And that information and knowledge is already there to draw upon.
Right.
And they don't have to talk about it because they know it's a foregone conclusion.
Right. And you were very passionate about the idea that sometimes that people here in stateside or in the civilian sector don't understand the sacrifices that were being given up. And I can understand why when they come back to be involved and they're looking around and seeing people that aren't necessarily taking action. And I, again, you can act in a lot of ways. The cleanups of the creeks and rivers and dealing with homeless camps, there's all kinds of ways to act. And the community watch, our average age has got to be over 50. It's
a lot of older gentlemen and ladies.
Right. They're up all night, their eyes and ears. We provided, I'm going to say this, in the time, in the last 10 years, I'm only aware of a couple of times that there have been major busts, in Cottonwood that information was not given by Community Watch people to the sheriff to make that possible. One of them was the fire. They had some technologies and things they used to find that firebug kid that they,
the arsonist.
Yeah. But one of the biggest busts in the county, for recovering stolen goods, was all, Community Watch and militia members. And that was people over 50 who just happened to notice that every night there's this car driving around. So it's not about youth. It's about what can you do. Some people, can make great food. Some people are great with technology. Other people are great at encouraging. And then there's people with a strong back. We need all kinds. There's a place for everybody there. And what we need, and I made a big statement when we were talking in the militia with the introduction class down in Cottonwood, is that you have to be the person that when disaster happens, your neighbors want to save you. That's who we want. If you are the kind of person that doesn't know your neighbors, if you're running around secret squirreling away doing things, you're not necessarily affecting, you're not saving them, and you can't help them. You have to do something to help them. They have to go, this person knows first aid. They're great to talk to. They just make me feel safe. And they're going to pull you out of the rubble. They're going to help you. They're going to make sure that you're getting away in the fire. And so you have to be a safe person, a respectful person, a responsible person, so that other people are proud to know you. We have a code of conduct. That's our basic code of conduct. You have to conduct yourself in a way that is safe, respectful, and responsible so that...
What a concept.
Oh.
Solid citizens.
Yes, yes. That's the only way you're going to be able to help other people. And I would tell people that you're going to have to work with people you don't like, that you don't understand necessarily, that are not you, because that's part of what community service is. It's not, I like you, I'm helping you. It's, I like you because you're a human. You're a part of my community. I value you. And I'm going to make sure that you get what you need.
Well, if you're a true service-connected individual who likes to work in the community and to help others, let me tell you, after being in the military, there are many personalities you will never like. There are many personalities you will not get along. But when you stay focused and you have a mission to complete and you know that it's all of you together that create the ultimate solution to the problem, because either you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem, there's no in between. That it's when you work for an organization like that or a nonprofit like that or the Community Watch, you set aside those differences for that time frame and you focus on whatever the need's going to be. So if it's a situation where you're helping people in the community, you're helping in a car accident, you're helping because you're picking up trash at the creek, you're helping because you're watching for people that are stealing in the community, you're just keeping an open mind. It's about the solution, not about the individualism. And at some point, when you're part of an organization, you surrender your individualism and you work together as a team to meet that mission. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexmer Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an North State with no more homeless pets.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?'
and it got a bad rip in New Orleans, with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams, and it almost fell at the Alamo, beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waves from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're proud of that ragged old flag here in our country and our community. And if those of you that are out there that don't appreciate that flag, you can stand alone, because those of us that do appreciate that flag stand together. And when we were in Iraq and we were coming back in off of 30-hour convoys, and we could see our base from a distance, and you would see the American flag flying above our base there in Fallujah, Iraq. We knew that that flag represented home. It represented safety. It represented it represented like-minded Marines and Seabees that were serving together to help protect as we moved forward. And we got in that wire, and we finally, and when I say the wire, I mean we got into the concertina wire, the barbed wire that protected our base. We could finally take that last breath and say, okay, we're in the safe zone. We're at home. We can let our shoulders down. We can unload our weapons. We can put our gear away. We can lay our heads down and maybe get 4 hours of rest before we turn around and get it all again. But that flag represented our freedom. It represented the United States. It represented the cohesion of our fellow military personnel who protected us while we slept, and we protected them while they slept. There's so much more to this flag that people never, ever realize or know. Instead of people who have no appreciation and throw it in the street and step on it and burn it and have no regard for the freedom that others have paid for them to be able to just disregard. And sometimes people ask me why I'm so passionate. When you've been in other places and other locations where people have literally given their lives for that freedom of that red, white, and blue, and then you come home and see others abuse it, it just makes you livid and upset inside. It lights a passion. And I think that that's one of the reasons why there was so much passion coming back from World War II, because there were so many in our population. Over 75% of our population during World War II served the nation, either at home or abroad. They fought for that flag. They fought for that freedom. And now we have such a small percentage who fight for that freedom that so many do not know what it represents or what the cause and effect is when you don't have it. Yeah. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's a privilege. You've brought a lot to the table in our community, and you're sharing with us this morning. And I just want you to, you know, we talked about leadership, and we're going to talk more about leadership in the community and what it takes to step up and to be able to help lead others. You don't have to be from the military, the police, or the fire department to be a leader. Leaders are people with a heart of gold. They have personal self-discipline, and they have an aspect of what they believe, how they can help others. And they usually have an expert skill that they can share, and that leads to that strongness of that leadership.
Yeah. Down in Cottonwood, I have a karate dojo, and it's a traditional dojo. I go to Okinawa, Japan to get my rank, and my instructor in Chico takes me there to meet the master. And one of the things that they talk about is leadership. Your rank in karate, your ability to fight, is different than your ability to teach or lead. And at the highest level, when we call somebody a master, a hanchi, a grandmaster, the term in Japanese actually means good man, good human is what it means. And so there are leaders in our community out there that are doing things that aren't seen. And one of the pieces, when people come to the militia, they ask, you know, what are we going to do? They're wondering if we're going to ask them to crawl around in the bushes. No, we're going to ask you to come in, and we're going to ask you to read the Constitution, understand the Declaration of Independence, what are the foundations for our country, because that's what we're supporting. Then we're going to tell you that you are going to be asked at some time to roll out and help the community by the governor of the state. That's who calls out the militia. The militia has two components. There's an organized militia and an unorganized militia. And that's kind of just a bunch of political hooey as they were trying to get states to be more active in the federal protection of our country. But for our purposes, we're going to talk about the unorganized militia. And when does it roll out? It rolled out in the car fire, in the campfire. It rolls out whenever there's any kind of a disaster going on. And so our militia has to prepare for that. And so we have units that we've trained. We've received some state accommodations for our radio communications that we've helped on several fires from El Turis all the way to San Diego. We've gotten accommodations for our combat lifesaver training that we do with our medical. That was, I believe it was Huntington Beach, and also the city of Oakland recognized us for that, our units for that. And so what would the average person do? I don't know anything about comms. It's going to start with your neighborhood. First, you got to be the leader of you. And once you can lead you, you have to influence others. So get your own food and have first aid and CPR training and have a plan for how you're going to meet up after a disaster or during disaster. How are you going to be able to put food and shelter and clothing and get that going right away? How are you going to secure the environment, keep people safe? That's what's important. And then can you help a neighbor do that? And it's something that you do by example. When you are leading people by example, you're an influencer. But when you can throw a party, get a barbecue going, can you organize people to put a meal together? That's a huge, wonderful training in the militia. Can you put some kind of event together, a fundraiser? That encompasses everything that we need in militia leadership. It's not about conducting warfare. It's about being able to organize people to get back to the daily act of living. And so that's what we're looking for people to do. There's an incident command system that we would want you trained in that already exists internationally. There's a level 100 and a level 200 that you can take online. We want everybody to be involved in that.
Bernie, we have a caller. We have Kay on the line. Good morning, Kay.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Bernie.
Good morning.
Thank you for all that you guys are doing down in Cottonwood. We don't hear as much news from Cottonwood as we did there for a while.
Yeah.
That's good news.
We're just busy doing things.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. I was just wondering, do you know what happened to the guardian angels in Redding?
I don't know anything about them.
They just disappeared.
I'm not sure where they went. Maybe you might get a hold of Terry Proposi. He might know who where they went.
Les Baugh might know.
Oh, Les Baugh, okay.
Yeah.
So either of those leaders in the community, they would probably know.
Okay, so far I haven't found anybody who knows.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to kind of make a brief comment. Getting involved in any kind of leadership, guardian angels especially, citizen patrol, it's a long-term commitment. People are okay with getting involved in things in the short term, but if anybody had told me I'd be involved for over 10 years in the militia and in the community watch, I would have laughed. I didn't think we had 3 months back then, but here we are. You know, I've been involved over 10 years. That's longer than most military service.
Right.
And so it's a long-term thing. Forest fires are fought over long-term. And so I understand why they might have gone maybe people moved away. There's all, maybe the illness shut them down. I don't know.
Well, and another thing is it was, you know, it's sort of like based out of New York, and so it's different out there than it is here.
It turns out Guardian Angels is international. Mm-hmm. They started in New York. They did a great job, and then it went
international. That's sort of where their headquarters is still, though.
All right. Thank you, Kay.
Okay, bye.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
So, Bernie, we were talking about leadership in a community. We're talking about individuals that come back in and be part of the program. And like you said, leadership is long-term. It's just not something that you just show up and do for a month and a half and then you leave. If you're a true leader, that's in your blood. It's in your skill set. It's in the way you talk and you live your life. And it's not just about first aid or whatever else. Our leaders are in our businesses, good community service businesses where they work hard and they do everything they can to keep their doors open. I hand it to those restaurants right now that are trying to survive. I had a restaurant, and I know how hard it is to survive in a good economy, let alone an economy where you can barely keep the doors open and or have them be able to eat outside so you don't lose your survivability and your livelihood. Those people are business leaders right now. I mean, they're surviving and they're continuing to find every opportunity they can to keep moving forward. Yeah. That's just a small example of people who come up against all the odds and continue to move forward as best they can with the best attitude so that they're taking care of their family and those around them.
Yeah, yeah. you know, we talk about leadership, and there's John Maxwell, who got his start putting churches together, and then his work was so great that it ended up being a business. He had five levels of leadership, and the first one is by title, and so anyway, we can talk later about what that means.
We will talk about that. I just blew through our break, so you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
hear people talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is Merle Haggard, who used to live right here in our community. He passed away a couple of years ago, an American icon. And, you know, he probably wrote that song 50 years ago.
Right.
And what has changed? I mean, at that time, it was, you look at the world back then, it was fantastic compared to what it is today. And even at that time, it looked like it was upside down and backwards.
Right.
And so these things that are going on in our community with the hate and discontent and the anarchy and everything else that's going on, I mean, that should be on the mind of every one of us as the fight inside of us to continue to want our communities to be successful and to have the freedom that we have and to have our children grow up where they're not being brutalized or wherever it's going to take and things going on like that. We need to stand up as a community, as a county, as a Northern California area to look out for one another and continue to move forward and to share that communication. Situational awareness is something we haven't talked about, but the situational awareness is about watching your surrounding and then making sure that your surrounding is safe. Whether you're driving your car down the street, you're at Walmart, you're at home in your driveway, you're taking care of your kids in the yard or the park, that situational awareness is what helps you to protect yourself from something, from harm or evil that may come around you. And once again, that's this mindset we're talking about this morning is in the leadership position for our community with the community watch.
I love what you just said right there. I love everything. I love the music that you're putting on with opening the segments with. But, you know, I'm teaching my karate down in Cottonwood, and I talk to my kids about the first level of, you know, self-defense. The first self-defense move is make friends. But when I work with the women's self-defense classes that I teach, defense is everything you do before you touch anybody, before they touch you. Predators, great predators, you don't see them coming. The shark never announces itself. The leopard never announces itself to the lion or to the deer. So you don't see great predators coming. But when you can see danger and you can recognize that's shark infested water, you go there with intention that you know that it's a dangerous place, you can save yourself a lot of grief, that defense. And so you have to be your leader first. We were talking about leadership, and I mentioned John Maxwell's five levels of leadership. The first leader is by title, but really the first leadership that we need is the mastery of self. You have to know who you are and what you're capable of. And you need to be honest about your strengths and your weaknesses. And then you need to play to your weaknesses or to your strength, and you need to overcome your weaknesses.
The lion doesn't have to tell people that he's a lion.
It never tells you. You can see the scars.
The lion is the projection of that individual and the strength that they have and what they are in the community and the character that they portray.
Right.
And so that's just it. The lion never has to tell anybody it's a lion. Those who aren't lions have to tell you who they are because they're weak in their thinking process and they're weak in their capabilities.
Yeah, and we've talked about how this is about action. Too many times when people are trying to tell people, I guess they're just not being active enough. And so returning to John Maxwell's five levels of leadership, you're a leader by title. As a teacher, you see this when people come in to be substitutes, and I say, substitute teacher, everybody listening knows, oh, that person's going to have a little bit of grief. They are. They're going to have grief. They should expect that it's coming. And to get past, and that first level of leadership gives you about 30 seconds, that you need to immediately start to meet the people's needs. That's the second level of leadership. You have to, in the case of the militia, have food on hand, have medical supplies on hand for yourself. Just take care of you and your family. Then you can start thinking about others. And if you want to give them things that they keep at their property, that would be a great way to go. So organize first aid classes that you can take, because somebody's going to save somebody's kid in a pool drowning. They're going to put a Band-Aid on somebody or stop a wound because of a bicycle thing. It might, that's just a small piece, but that's where the leadership begins. As we go further on, you start to influence others. And influencing is leadership, but it's because you're just being you and doing what you do. When you start to maybe organize five people or more, now you're actually a true leader. In the military, you'd be about a sergeant's rank, I believe, something like that. So here we are, organize parties and fundraisers and gatherings and know everybody in your neighborhood. What are their strengths? What do they bring to the table? Do you have electricians and doctors? Do you have people that are great gardeners? Can you get them to help other people garden? That's the sort of thing that we're going to do that's going to solve all the problems you were speaking about earlier. So frustrated. People don't appear to be taking the gift of freedom that they have and doing enough with it. Start a gardening group, and that would be a huge gift to your community. That's where the change is going to happen. We can't control what any leader does in Washington. We can barely control the leaders that we have in our county. But in our neighborhood, we can share vegetables. We can make sure that everybody there knows how to stop bleeding and do CPR. And we got to start with ourselves.
And I think that's one of the most critical aspects is our communities used to come together like that. We used to have all different types of organizations where the ladies met and the men met, and they talked about these different things, community support organizations, and we have slowly gotten away from those. Yeah. And one of the reasons is because of attrition. Those individuals have passed away or died, mm-hmm. and in the process, someone did not get the information passed along to them, or they didn't care enough to continue that information or to receive it to begin with. You have to have the right attitude and the right mindset in order to receive and to be a leader in order to have those skills.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the Boy Scouts at 12 years old or 17 year old as a Eagle Scout or whether you're in the community as a business person or a manager or whatever else, not enough people step up to the plate and carry that responsibility. And I think a lot of it is that the information has not been passed along.
Right.
And we were talking earlier about individuals being out in the country by themselves and not talking to anybody. We have people stand next to each other and talk to each other on a cell phone and never look at each other in the eyes.
Right.
And never talk to individuals next to them and share a smile or whatever else.
Right.
Because they're so individualists.
Right.
They don't. There is no social contact anymore. And we as humans need that social contact. And when we meet together, that's part of that social intervention, that social interaction where people see and talk and they shake hands and they realize, oh, this person has different ideals and needs that are similar to mine. And so we can be friends. We can work together. We can make this come together as a team.
I like to tell a story about talk about that lone wolf mentality. Rugged individualism is I can do it on my own, and that is a lie. If you are a snow leopard, if you're a mountain lion, if you're a great white shark, you can live alone. But orcas and whales live together. Wolves live together. So we had QR7, I think it was, running, or OR7, running around between Oregon and Northern California early in the militia movement. And I would point to OR7, I'd say, that's a dead wolf. It has to hunt mice. It has to hunt rabbits. It has to eat dead things. It cannot take down a deer. It cannot take down an elk. It can't take down the things it really needs to survive because it's all alone. And so when OR7 eventually got a mate and developed its pack, now that's a real living wolf. We never reach our full potential as humans. We are not solitary creatures. We are groups that we work in groups best. And that's, again, the reason for the team, the basis of the team and the militia.
And I think it's the basis for our community, too, is coming together and working together in a community for the mission of making sure people don't fall through the cracks.
Right.
And the mission of making sure that we help support each other in time of need.
Right. Absolutely. I've enjoyed my time here, Rob Burrows. Can I put out a phone number for people to contact the California State Militia?
Yeah, sure can.
That would be to contact Dan Scoville. He's a recruiting officer. His phone number is area code 530-353-9326. You could also call the barbershop down there in Cottonwood. Nice for Woody.
Call the museum and we'll get some more information to them. Hey, I'm going to have you back again another time. Thank you for being here. I think we have more information to give to our community.
Yeah.
And to support them and offer that hope and encouragement so that we can move together as a community and be strong together.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.